Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Today, we are starting to look at the United Church of Christ Statement of Faith and the article that deals with God as Creator. And I'm going to read, first of all, from Genesis, just the first few chapters to give you a sense of it. This is a hymn that was written by the priests about 500 years before Jesus, just as the Jewish people were coming out of captivity in Babylon, which would be modern-day Iraq. And it's very significant because you'll find it says that the creation is good. And at this time, in most cultures of the area, the material world was regarded as bad. And here also you have the affirmation that God has created the whole world, not just a little piece of it. And you'll find that, you know, people like Richard Dawkins and people like him, they make fun of this, saying, you know, here, light is created first. We all know that light comes from the sun. You know how stupid these people were. He never stops to ask, you know, these people weren't as stupid as he thinks. They knew the light comes from the sun. Why did they have the light created first? And remember, they're coming out of Babylon, going back home. And what was one of the big religions in Babylon? You know, you read it in the newspaper horoscopes today. They believed that human life was determined by the movement of the stars and the planets. And here the priests are sort of knocking the beliefs of the Babylonians. Light is created first, not the planets and the stars. Okay, that's one of the things they're saying. So here is the opening. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And a wind from God swept over the waters, the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Again, a hymn, if you can hear people singing that, it was part of their worship. From the Gospel of John, but Jesus answered them, my Father is still working, and I also am working still. And from the book of Revelation, a very ancient Christian hymn fragment. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive honor and glory and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. This is the word of the Lord. You respond, thanks be to God. John Glenn was a senator and an astronaut and a very active church person out in Ohio. And he said of his experience in outer space that it was just awe-inspiring. To look at this kind of creation and not believe in God, he said, for me at least, is just impossible. It strengthens my faith. And I don't know what your experience has been, but we live in a very beautiful part of Connecticut. Western Connecticut is very nice. And I don't know if you've ever just looked out at the rolling hills or at the trees in leaf or the clouds in the sky and felt that urge, that need to just give thanks to someone, to the God who brought it all into existence. Our United Church of Christ statement of faith deals with the acts of God. And one of the first deeds it mentions is the God of creation. You call the worlds into being. You create persons in your own image. You know, I look at the Bible and I find, what's the opening line? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you get to the book of Revelation at the very end and you find that glory statement at the very end. You know, glory and power be to you, for you have called all things into existence. All the creeds of the Christian church that I know of mention this belief that God is the creator. The Apostles' Creed is, you know, that we believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. It's very deep in our Christian tradition, very deep in our outlook. But what does it have to say to us and to the way we live our lives and conduct ourselves and find meaning in this world? One of the first things I think this part of our statement does say is that we believe in a very big God. Just think of those words. You call the worlds into existence. You create persons in your own image. This is a very big God. I think, you know, in the passage that Krista read from Psalm 8, that person talked about, you know, I look at the heavens, the moon and the stars which you have made. What are people that you're mindful of them at all? And he's, in his day, on a good day, on a good night, maybe he could see, what, 5,000 stars in the sky? Today, with the Hubble telescope, with those deep field cameras, we can see much more of the heavens. There's one picture that's taken by the telescope that just, it's like night. They're pinpoints of light. Only those pinpoints are not stars. They're galaxies with hundreds and billions of stars. Just, for me at least, it's just mind-blowing. And you think of how long it takes the light from some of those places to reach us. Hundreds of years, thousands of years. A vast creation. There's something else, at least to me. This is a new discovery for me. I would say within the last few years, how big life is itself. Because when I think of life, I think of the fish and the elephant and the birds and so forth. You know those charts you see in the library and everything. But I happened to be talking to a microbiologist a couple of years ago. And, you know, I knew about microbes and viruses and that kind of thing. But I never considered them life. But there's a whole span of life there that's invisible to our eyes. Just huge. Those things that the microbiologist studies. Vastness beyond comprehension. And yet, attention to specific detail. Have you ever thought about, you know, our existence and how we're able to survive on this planet? If the Earth were just a little bit closer to the sun, we'd all burn up. If it were just a little bit further away, we'd all freeze. But there's just that right envelope of distance that enables us to go about our daily lives, to exist. And what is it, those of you with a medical background know better, that how often do we change the cells in our body? Is it every 6 months or something like that? It's every, how many, 7 years? 7 years we change. Just the vastness, yet attention to detail. When I was starting out in the ministry, there was a book by J.B. Phillips called Your God is Too Small. And he was a great author, a great Christian author. And I think he's right, at least for me, when I consider the God of creation, my thinking about God is often too small. We believe in a very big God. There's a second point here, and that is, I don't know if you paid attention to the tenses that are used. You call the worlds into being. You create persons in your own image. It's all in the present tense, not in the past. Creation is not just in the past. It's ongoing and now. It's a story about a man and his little son who checked into a hotel in the Canadian Rockies. And it was dark when they checked in. You couldn't see anything. But when the man got up in the morning, he saw his son with his nose pressed against the window, looking out at the scenery. And it was that scenery. You know, the snow-capped mountains, the lake, just striking. And the father was a church person, and so he tried to explain to his son, you know, God created all this. God has given us all this. And the little boy said something very astute. But what is God doing now? What is God doing now? And I think if you think back again to Christus' reading, where the psalmist is talking about the vastness of the heavens, and how can you be concerned about people? He's saying that because he has experienced that God here and now in his own life and in his nation's history. In Christian perspective, God is not a builder who puts up a house and then skips town with the money. God is not a watchmaker who puts together this very intricate watch, winds it up, and lets it go on by itself. What did Jesus say in that reading from the Gospel of John? My Father is working still, and I am working still. You know, the United Church of Christ little saying, God is still speaking. God's creative activity is here and now, as well as in the past. Just a word about evolution. The United Church of Christ is a science-friendly church. Like the major mainline Protestant churches, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, the Evangelical Lutherans, and so forth, plus the Roman Catholic Church, evolution is not really a problem. They're quite open to evolution and have no problem seeing God as working through evolution today. Again, the UCC, Presbyterians, Methodists, so forth, are all quite open to God working through evolution. So we have a big God. We have God working even today. There's something else, too, there. You create persons in your own image. What does that mean? Do you remember the cartoon Calvin and Hobbes? That has a special place in my life, as well as the English handbells. But Calvin and Hobbes, the guy who drew that, lived right next door in the next town when I was in Ohio. And in fact, one of my associates married him and his wife. And when Calvin plays Godzilla, if you ever read those cartoons, when he plays Godzilla, he has the town clock tower in his hand from the green. In one of those cartoons that he did, he shows Calvin, who's this little guy, and Calvin is standing in front of a mirror, and he's, you know, in his skivvies, and he's making muscles, only his muscles are little dinky bumps on his arms. Okay? And he says, you know, made in the image of God. Yes, sir. And his friend is the tiger. And the tiger says, you know, God sure has a goofy sense of humor. When we talk about being made in the image of God, we don't mean that we're physically like God, something you could see in a mirror. But what we are saying is that, like God, we have the capacity to love. We are made to be in relationship with God and with one another. We're also saying that, like God, though in a secondary sense, we also have the ability to create, to be creative. And I think most significantly, we're saying that God has given each one of us a dignity which no one can take away. You know, our society values people as they're productive. You make money. But the Christian faith says, that's fine, but there's more to it than that. You can have a stroke and be paralyzed. You can be bedridden in a nursing home, and you still have a dignity which God has given, which no one can take away from you. And that's something to remember. We all have a dignity, regardless of what happens, that no one can take away from us. You call the worlds into being, create persons in your own image. I think there's a call in this to us as well, on how we conduct our own lives and care for the creation God has given to us. For God calls us to be co-workers with him in the care of this creation. Now, I'm not a tree hugger, but I remember John Muir, the naturalist, saying, you know, God must have been very pleased with the trees of North America because they're the best ones he ever planted. And, you know, in my own life, just as with microbes and with that stuff, I knew they were around, but I never really thought about caring for creation in its practicality. But it was driven home to me in an experience I had. My wife and I were once on the Greek island of Santorini. Has anybody been there? Santorini? And it was interesting. There's no rain on Santorini. The only moisture is the dew that comes at night. Now, Santorini is famous because it has some very old ruins of populations in ancient times. And if you go through those places, one thing that strikes you is they did do wall paintings. And the wall paintings have flourishing forests, flowing streams, deer running around. And I happened to ask the guide, you know, what goes? Today, there's no rain. The only water is what comes with the dew at night. Yet in these old pictures, you know, it's obvious that there were trees, there were flowing streams, there were animals running around. What happened? And his answer was, and there had been an earthquake in this area. This is the area where Atlantis may have been, according to legend. But he didn't see the earthquake as causing the modern situation. He said those people back in previous generations had a very good life. But they destroyed everything for everybody else. They cut down all the trees. And that sort of made me sit back. You know that the greenhouse gases we produce today, the plastic we dump into the sea, all these things may not affect us immediately, but they will have their effect on our children and grandchildren and their children. Part of our belief in God as creator is also the firm conviction that God calls us to work with him in the care, the stewardship, the trusteeship of his creation. Remember that line from Revelation? Again, ancient fragment of a hymn. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. The United Church Statement of Faith says that God has called these worlds into existence, and that he has created persons in his own image. It's a big God. A God who is still active, not just in the past, but here and now. A God who gives us a dignity that no one can take away from us. But a God who also calls us to be co-workers with him in the care of the creation he has given to us. Amen.